Welcome to this week's edition of Focus Fridays here on WKLM. Focus Fridays is brought to you by Hobbrins Insurance, Home Siding, Rohde's IGA, Millersburg Electric, Pomerine Hospital, MRV Siding, and Millersburg Tire. I'm Melissa Patrick for WKLM's Focus Fridays, and joining in with me today is Pomerine Hospital CEO Ann Gunther. Thank you, Ann, for coming in today and joining with us here on Focus Fridays.
Thank you, Melissa.
And so you are the CEO of Pomerine Hospital, as we said in our introductions there. And how long have you been CEO for Pomerine now?
I have been there 18 months. I came in February of 2025.
And what were you doing before you became CEO?
I'm part of Altman Health System. In fact, I was the president of Altman Hospital before I came to Pomerine.
And what made you decide to leave the Altman system and come over to Pomerine?
So at the time, the board reached out to Altman. They needed some executive leadership. I had already had a relationship with Pomerine working with the former CEO through a hospital management agreement that Altman and Pomerine had. And so I had a lot of familiarity with the organization. And when the board reached out, they needed some higher level leadership. So I decided, I did. I volunteered, I raised my hand and said, I will come. Just because I had that familiarity of Pomerine and just because of the reputation of the hospital for over the years.
And a lot of people don't realize that there is that relationship between Pomerine and Altman.
That's correct. And that relationship, it's not an ownership relationship, but is a partnership. It's a working relationship. And that relationship really, it's steadfast in how we can move our patients that need higher level of care from Millersburg, from Holmes County to Altman, where they do have a lot of subspecialty care available.
It's for those things that we don't have here.
That's correct.
They're not just, we're going to move you to Altman. It's, we don't have the capability to handle this here. We're going to get you to somewhere where they can.
Exactly. And a great example of that is when someone is having a heart attack. They come to Pomerine's emergency department. We diagnose very quickly that you're having, you know, a heart attack. It's in progress. And because of evidence-based medicine and the fact that medicine has really advanced over the years, we can now take you to a heart cath lab, which is at Altman. And they can quickly get you into a heart cath lab and actually be able to unblock the blockage that's happening in the artery. And that's why, you know, people are having heart attacks. So the technology is there. We can quickly diagnose you and get you to Altman in a matter of within an hour.
And so it's been a little over a year now since you've been in the position. Have you had anything where you're like, okay, this kind of needs adjusted, or do you think things were working pretty smoothly?
So I've been working on several items. The first is a strategic plan. We found that the organization really needed to know where they were heading the next 3 to 5 years. And so working with our board of directors, we hired some consultants to come in and working not only with the board, but our medical staff, leadership, our employees, we really did chart out the next 3 to 5 years. In fact, our strategic plan is just 2 years because of all the changes that are happening in healthcare.
It's like the technology world. You go home and it's already old technology that's changing every day.
Exactly. And, you know, healthcare, not only how it's changing rapidly just from advanced technology, but even how we're getting paid. You know, rural hospitals in Ohio and across the country are struggling, and, you know, funding needs to be looked at. And that's something that's part of the strategy, is to make sure that we are financially stable through our programming, but also how we're getting funded, whether it's through the government and Medicare, Medicaid, or some other type of governmental grants or subsidies that can come through.
And there's lots to look at with all of that. And so you took on this CEO position. What all, you said you were in leadership with Altman. What other background do you have in the medical field?
Sure. I am a registered nurse by background. Been a nurse for a long time. And as a nurse, I started at Altman in the emergency department and actually spent 8 years working the off shift. So a lot of experience coming through in a very busy emergency department. From there, I knew leadership was something that I really enjoyed and wanted to advance my career in. So took on a manager role and then moved into the executive level at Altman. Managed through the cancer program there, the women's and children's program, and the heart program as a service line. All three of those are service lines. From there, then I became the chief nursing officer. Spent almost 10 years in that role as the chief nurse, and then moved into a chief operating officer role and of the health system, and then became the president of Altman Hospital.
And as you're in a more administrative role now, do you miss being on the floor, being in that emergency room, taking care of patients?
Well, what's wonderful about Pomerene is I can quickly go down into the ED, emergency department, and make sure and see what's happening. If I hear that there's some type of an emergent situation coming through the doors, whether through our emergency, our EMS, then I can go down and I can help, you know, evaluate, or if there's a resource that's needed down there, I can do that. Same thing going up into our OB maternity area. If we have some type of an item going on that of interest, then I can pop over there. So, you know, the small hospital allows me to be I can get to areas very quickly, check out the situation, again, lend any help that I can, but then just stay in touch with what's happening on a day-to-day basis.
And that's got to be feel good, because in your bigger systems, you almost lose touch with that sometimes.
You do, absolutely. You're definitely not so much focused on the clinical areas just because you have people there. You have layers and layers of people in the hierarchy that can take care of those things. And, you know, having a high-level administrator, yes, you want them to be in touch with what's happening, doing rounding, listening to employees, but it's not as intimate as it is at a small hospital like Pomerene.
And so as the CEO, you're doing CEO work, but you're also maintaining your RN so that you can hop into these positions.
Absolutely. Not necessarily hands-on, but, you know, lend my expertise in the medical side of things, working with our medical staff, and, you know, lending years of experience, you know, as you're sitting there trying to problem solve, maybe it's something that I've been through that I can offer suggestions to the team.
Especially since you've been in that bigger hospital situation. Like, I've seen that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's not too much I haven't seen, I would say, over my career.
I can only imagine in Canton.
Yeah, as a nurse. So, and I'm very proud of being a nurse. In fact, when people ask what I do for a living, the first thing I say is I'm a nurse. And the profession is so noble, well-respected, and I'm proud to be a nurse, and that's how I identify myself, first and foremost. And then, of course, when people say, what do you do at the hospital as a nurse?
Well,
then I kind of move into, you know, my current role, so.
And that's good to still have that pride and that connection with it, because it has to help you connect with the nurses and doctors in the hospital a lot more.
Absolutely. It does. It does. And the clinical background really does help when you're overseeing a hospital like Pomerene, you know, to have that clinical background besides the business background, which I have learned over the years of healthcare. But, you know, everything does come down to patient care. It comes down to how we treat people, how we can help them through times of difficulty, or we can watch them recover and, you know, have a great quality of life afterwards.
Well, we've got so much more to learn about what you do at Pomerene Hospital, what Pomerene Hospital does for the community, as we continue on Focus Fridays here on WKLM with Pomerene Hospital's CEO, Ann Gunther. I am Melissa Patrick for Focus Fridays on WKLM. We're back here with Pomerene Hospital CEO, Ann Gunther. I'm Melissa Patrick for Focus Fridays on WKLM. And we started to get into your background, how you got to Pomerene Hospital. And so as the CEO, I'm sure a lot of people think CEOs just sit behind a desk, but at a hospital, your day-to-day is never just a day-to-day.
That's correct. People ask me about my role, and I say every day is different. It's an adventure, or there's never a dull moment in a hospital.
Never. As you said, you can stop down in the case of an extra emergency. So one call from VMS, we've had all these ambulances coming to Pomeranian, and your day has just changed on a dime.
That's correct. And, you know, my day does start off, we have a daily call with all of our leaders to talk about safety in a hospital. And so our call is focused in on census, any safety issues that may have occurred in the last 24 hours, and then anything we may anticipate coming in the next 24 hours. That conversation happens, and it's just not only in the clinical arena, but it's also in our business side as well. So every morning, 8:30, we have this safety call. And again, everybody knows exactly what's being planned for the day. And if we find that there are some types of concerns, then we get more heads together to figure out what is the solution.
And so you've got your safety call every day. What other types of things do you come across in the CEO world?
Sure. So I'm very focused in on things like the financial state of the hospital. I'm also very keened in on recruitment of medical staff members. So we know exactly how many physicians, the types of physicians that are needed, not only in Holmes County, but based on our volumes that are coming through. So we do what's called a physician needs assessment. So based on population, based on episodes of care, I know exactly how many physicians, advanced practice providers that we are needed. So I spend a lot of time on medical staff. I also spend time on growing our services. So that's our outpatient services, our inpatient services. I work with other leaders in the organization, our chief nursing officer, our chief financial officer. We also have an executive director of our outpatient services. So a lot of heads coming together, figuring out, again, and that's part of our strategy as well, but how do we grow Pomeranian? How do we make sure that it's fiscally stable? And then making sure the quality and the safety is there as well.
And I know recruitment is something that you've been working heavily on in the recent months. You've talked about it at different meetings and things, and how important it is to get these doctors and specialty practitioners into the area.
Absolutely. And because we're a rural county, we're serving rural residents, it takes time to bring a medical staff member to Holmes County, to Millersburg. So we actually have a physician recruiter who's actually our executive director of our human resources, Jenna Jacobs. We work together to decide what type of physician or advanced practice provider we need, and then we go out and we try to recruit. So we make contacts with academic institutions, medical schools, other hospitals. Sometimes we will engage a third party to help us with that. But recruitment is just, it's a process, and it's a lengthy process. So that's why that strategy, we have to know well ahead of time what our needs are so we can be proactive and not reactive.
And with the recruitment, it's knowing more than just about your hospital. It's knowing the area, what the area has to provide. Housing is a big issue right now, and that's part of your issue in recruitment because they have nowhere to move to.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the physicians that we recruit really do want to live in Holmes County or in a nearby county that's close. But, you know, they do prefer to engage into the community, you know, in their residency, as well as just getting involved in, you know, local groups and engage with people.
It can only help them understand the folks that they're seeing more. Knowing what the folks in the area are doing every day, it would help them understand any trends in injuries or illnesses or things like that.
Absolutely. You're spot on. Spot on.
And so you're engaged in the community as well as in the hospital and what you do.
Sure. Part of my role is to be that ambassador out in the community. So, you know, I'm a member of the Holmes County Economic Development Council and working with that group of leaders to understand the business community and to make sure that, you know, from a hospital standpoint, we're meeting the needs of the business community as well.
Which is a very important partnership.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
The hospital is a very vital part of a county and whole community.
Absolutely. I also try to engage with our local elected officials, the county commissioners, the mayor, also to our state representative, Mark Heiner, our state senator, Andrew Brenner. So I try to engage to make sure they're aware of sort of what's happening in a rural small or a rural community hospital such as Pomerene, because there are unique challenges that we have versus, you know, a bigger system in a higher populated area.
And I know they've been doing things on the state level to help that out.
They have. They've been wonderful, especially Representative Mark Heiner, just very accessible, able to call him, give him information that he may need as they're discussing issues or bills down at the state house.
And you even engage on the federal level, too. I know you've recently had discussions with Senator Moreno and just trying to get the word out and help.
Absolutely. And Senator Moreno, he and his staff have been very receptive as we've, again, you know, communicated what our needs are. And I've been very pleased with that.
It's always a little less quick with the federal level than the state level.
Of course. I don't have him on speed dial like I do Representative Heiner, but, you know, but nonetheless, very responsive when I have a need. At least someone from his office is responding quickly.
And it's important to have all these relationships and be out there. And people know who you are when they see you at the fair.
Absolutely. You know, like any business, healthcare is something that is, it costs a lot of money. People want value out of their healthcare. So we want to make sure that Pomerene is providing, you know, evidence-based, best practice medicine and nursing care. And so it brings value back to the residents of Holmes County, and people feel that what they are getting is excellence.
And we've got more to learn about the hospital and yourself and what you do as we continue here on Focus Fridays. I'm with Pomerene Hospital CEO Ann Gunther. I'm Melissa Patrick for Focus Fridays here on WKLM. We are rejoining here on Focus Fridays on WKLM. I'm Melissa Patrick with Focus Fridays with the CEO of Pomerene Hospital, Ann Gunther. And we've been chatting here about things with the hospital and what you do at the hospital. And one of the things that you mentioned in a previous segment was programs and mm-hmm. bringing programming and maintaining the programs that Holmes County wants and mm-hmm. needs. And what is some of that programming that the hospital offers?
Sure, Melissa. In fact, we have core services that make sense for Holmes County, for the population, you know, that we serve. The first core service is primary care. We want to make sure that we have enough primary care providers, both physicians and advanced practice, to take care of our residents. The second is obstetrics. For a small hospital, we deliver almost 800 babies a year. And so we have to have OBGYNs, and we have a very wonderful midwifery program that is able to provide those services. So obstetrics is a big one.
And I'm sure midwifery in our area is much bigger than somewhere like in Canton.
Yes, it's very unique. And I will tell you, our midwifery team does a wonderful job. Very impressed by their skill set. And it's, again, all directed through an OBGYN as well. But I can't speak enough about how well our midwifery program performs.
And it's great to have a hospital behind that in case something happens in delivery. You've got that medical team that is
ready to go,
easily accessible.
Absolutely. The third one is surgery. We have to make sure that we have a strong surgical program. And so by saying that, it's general surgery, Believe it or not, we have a lot of patients that come in with appendicitis and hernias. Those are probably some of the two of the most common surgeries that we do here.
I think we all know somebody who's had a hernia.
Exactly. Exactly. And then within surgery, orthopedics is another core service. So making sure that we have orthopedics available, especially for those patients that need, you know, a joint replacement, hip or knee, or any other type of orthopedic needs. We have to make sure that we have that available for us.
Because we're a very physically working county.
Absolutely. A lot of, you know, a lot of people,
farming.
They spend a lot of time on their feet. I'll just say that, and using their hands. The other one is cardiology. So, you know, unfortunately here, that's not uncommon for a small rural county, but also in the bigger cities and urban, suburban areas, is everybody has heart disease. So we have to make sure that we have cardiology available. We can do some testing available, some diagnostic testing, and have a cardiologist here in town to help manage patients' heart conditions.
We all don't necessarily have the best diets, and that can lead to that cardiology need.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then, you know, we're looking at some other subspecialties too that potentially could come. We're always looking to see what, you know, if we can get a urologist here. There's a lot of patients that need that type of subspecialty. And again, it's not to bring high level subspecialty here to Pomerene, but, you know, can we hit those basic needs? Another is gastroenterology, GI, we call it. So we do have a GI doc here that comes 3 days a week. She can take care of any type of, we call it basic subspecialty, and she does see patients in the office, but that's another area or core service that we have and that we don't want to lose moving forward.
And with the specialties, you can share them with other hospitals and only have them there like 3 days a week, but you still have them coming to the hospital.
That's correct. You spot on. That's correct.
And that helps you be able to get these specialties into Pomerene.
That's correct. Yeah. So our services, we have both inpatient services, and one thing I'll talk a little bit about inpatient. So if a patient needs to be admitted, we actually have a group called Ohio Valley Physicians that actually manage all of the inpatient care. And we have a 24/7 coverage. So we have a physician here from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. And then at nighttime, we have an advanced practice person that can take care of anything happening, again, during the nighttime and any needs. And then on the outpatient side, that is where we think we really can grow services. So everything from our therapy services to sleep lab, our imaging, our laboratory, those are type of services that we want to assure the community that they're available, that the hours that they're available work, and that they feel comfortable using them, and that we have high quality coming from them.
And is there anything that you're looking at getting that we don't have at least some small offering of?
Yeah, I would say it's probably expanding ourselves into maybe some direct access. So instead of a patient needing an order from a provider, whether it's a physician or advanced practice, that they can directly access a service. So for example, imaging. If they want an x-ray, then they can, if they're going to, you know, if they feel they need it and they want to pay out of pocket, then we will have that available. Another is colonoscopy as well. Everybody needs a prevention colonoscopy. A lot of times, you know, there's
a need, not a want.
That's right. That's right. But it's important that you have some screening going on and prevention going on in case you can pick something up early and you can treat it very quickly before it becomes, you know, something that's major and obviously then more complicated. But those are services that we're looking at. So direct access, as well as, again, maybe looking at that subspecialty to kind of expand on, because there are some subspecialty that this community really, really needs. And in order to get it today, they have to travel.
And so it's good to be looking at that. And that's part of being out in the community. You're seeing those needs and picking up on where you need to do that.
Right. And it's part of strategy. It's part of being proactive. It's part of making sure Pomerene's going to be here, you know, in the next 10, 15, 20, 30 years from now. It's setting the stage for success.
Because you need to have the doctors for people to come to, or else you're not going to have patients.
That's correct.
And is there anything else on programming that we need to kind of touch base on, or...
No, it's the leaders getting around the table. You know, part of bringing programming is we have to look at the business side of it. So we're looking at the business case for it. There are services that we operate in the red, but we have other services that can cover, you know, those losses. So we have to look at that, what we call profit and loss of a service, to make sure, A, it makes sense that we have for the community, makes sense that it's a service that people want. But then again, from a business perspective, we have to make sure that it makes sense for everyone.
And sometimes those really needed services are those red services because they're either so widely used or what have you, but without them, it wouldn't be a good thing.
That's correct. And you know, some services we provide just don't pay a lot, from whether it's from the government subsidy or whether it's from the commercial insurance. Every hospital has its winners and its losers. But what you have to look at is that as an integration, it integrated all together, and where you add at the bottom.
And it sounds like you guys are looking at, okay, this is the care we want to provide. Where does that land us money-wise?
That's correct.
That's a good focus to have as a hospital.
Absolutely. You have to have that focus to be successful and to be here again in the long road ahead.
Because it's always moving forward.
It is. It is. Certainly is.
And we've got more to talk about with Pomerene and the CEO, Ann Gunther. I am Melissa Patrick with Focus Fridays on WKLM. We're going to continue our conversation here with Pomerene Hospital CEO Ann Gunther. I am Melissa Patrick for WKLM's Focus Fridays, and we were discussing the programming and things that the hospital has, and you kind of touched on it here and there in some of the past segments, but as a rural hospital, there are many challenges, mm-hmm. and not just as a rural hospital, but any hospital has challenges. And so what are some of the things that you are working on, the challenges with the Pomerene Hospital?
Sure. One thing, you know, we talk about this with our board of directors. Actually, we really put this into our strategic plan. What do we see as, you know, the view of the future, and particularly some of the challenges that are coming our way? One of those is workforce challenges. And we talked a little bit about the medical staff, but we also have challenges filling other key positions in a hospital. Nursing, for example, respiratory therapy, pharmacy, laboratory technicians. Those are very tough to fill, especially respiratory therapy and imaging right now. Radiology technicians, they're called RTs. And the reason for that is because of supply and demand happening in the market, but also too, you know, just within Holmes County, finding those types of workers is very difficult. I had our HR executive director give me some facts about how many of our workforce actually live in Holmes County, and 60% live in Holmes County. 40% of our workforce is driving into the county, sometimes 45 minutes, up to an hour coming to Pomerene. And so that workforce, when we have a vacancy, it does sometimes take a little time to find and fill that. And then you look at wage. There's pressures right now on all hospitals, especially for those hard to recruit positions. The market is constantly changing. And whether it's just upping the hourly wage or adding a bonus a sign-on bonus, you know, it just ups that hourly wage. And so we have to stay competitive, mm-hmm. and we have to stay within market as well.
And with some of those positions, are you just seeing less people go to school for that, or just more need in the hospital systems?
Both. So
that's not a good combination.
No. In fact, you know, some of the schooling, especially for respiratory therapy and radiology, you know, some of the slots, just there's just not enough slots in the schools. So they're just not producing enough of those types of workers for the demand out, you know, not only at Pomerene, but other hospitals as well. So it's a shortage, you know, in some respects, and everybody's vying for that worker.
So if you're looking at what career you want to do when you get out of high school, we've just given you some really good options that you're going to get hired somewhere immediately.
Absolutely. And again, Jenna Jacobs, she's been working with, you know, West Holmes School District, East Holmes Highland High School, trying to work with their guidance counselors, their curriculum directors to say there's a need in healthcare and specifically these types of roles. And in fact, today, talking about medical and being proactive, I'm meeting with Caden Ziegler, who's actually in a medical student right now. His mom is the treasurer of Jamie. She's the treasurer of West Holmes Schools, and we're connecting. Mm-hmm. And it may not be until 5, 6, 7, 8 years from now, but you know, maybe that contact that we're making now, you know, gets Caden back to Holmes County, back to Pomerene to practice medicine.
And you have to start there sometimes.
You do.
If they have a base they want to get to, then they just got to get the schooling, and then they know that they can come back here,
right,
and get the job. And that gives a little relief, because that's always a worry anymore when you go to college. Am I going to get a job that I can pay these college loans now?
Absolutely. Yeah. The other thing that, you know, I heard a statistic, again, was from the superintendent of West Holmes Schools, that about 20% of the graduating class, the 2026 graduating class at West Holmes, is going to college. And for healthcare, in which we need a lot of degreed, you know, mm-hmm. workers, you know, that even, I guess, makes it more challenging for us to make sure that we can find, you know, those that want to go into healthcare, support them through their schooling, and then get them back to Holmes County, back to Pomerene.
And are you working with some of the outside edge schools like Wayndale and Triway and
yes.
Garraway and
Garraway, you know, we're making those contacts. Mm-hmm. We're also in the academic institutions, the higher mm-hmm. higher education levels, the Kent States, Ashland, Akron, Altman, you know, making those contacts too to say what our needs are and find those that really want to practice in a rural setting, because there are some distinct advantages to doing that.
And some people just want that big city experience, and they want to have issue after issue nonstop, and they don't want to come back to rural. But there are the ones who they want to help people, but they not so fast-paced.
Yeah, actually, you know, everybody has a level or a desire of the type of setting, the how big or small hospital. And, you know, we find that there are a lot of healthcare workers that want to practice or want to work in a small rural community.
People seem to be a big challenge. Are there any other challenges that you guys are looking at?
Yeah. So, of course, there's, you know, the cost and the use of information technology or IT. And when I started my career, you know, a hospital budget really didn't have much of a budget for IT. But today it's 30-40% of a hospital's budget now is dedicated.
You were handwriting
everything. We were. Actually, we were. We had it was pen to paper at the time. But now, in fact, we talk a lot about there's maybe one or two roles in a hospital that does not use a computer. 99% of the work that's being done in a hospital is all in a, you know, adding to a computer software program, whether it's through an electronic medical record or it's through, you know, an Excel spreadsheet that we're gathering data. So everybody is using a computer in healthcare. And so the cost of that comes with it.
Well, you've got to then look at cybersecurity.
Yes.
Because HIPAA and protecting people's information.
Exactly. And then you move into, you know, artificial intelligence, AI, and we're seeing a proliferation of that happening within healthcare, and which I embrace. I think it's a good thing, because I do think AI can help not only our medical staff make decisions, our nursing staff, but it takes those large data groupings, data of information about a patient's care, and it really gives us some predictive analysis, allows us to help us make better decisions. Obviously, AI will never take the place of a human making a decision about your healthcare, but it can aid in a positive way.
Can do a lot of research a lot faster.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
And are there any other challenges that you wanted to make note of?
Sure. I mean, another thing is just we have a lot of competition. You know, looking at Holmes County and the strong business community and economic development that's going on. I mean, you know, Holmes County is really attractive. Some maybe bigger systems that want to come in and offer services. So that's something that we're always trying to make sure we're aware of, if there's any competitive threats. And making sure that we're connecting with our patients, our community leaders, our business community to assure that we are meeting their healthcare needs.
So there's a lot to really look at and include in that strategic plan that you guys put together.
You're right. And that strategic plan involves all of this information. You know, we have 26 initiatives we're working on right now. We've launched 24 of those. And we have bold leaders and really getting after it to make sure, again, setting us up for success.
And all of those sound like really good things to work on and overcome the challenge.
Absolutely. You're right. I mean, every business has its challenges, and that's because we're living in a changing world, a changing environment. Nothing's ever the same. If you look back 6 months, a year, 3 years ago, it's not the same. There's always, you know, dynamics coming at you, and you just have to make sure that you have clear sight, you recognize those challenges, and then you are proactively attacking those as much as you can.
And with the workforce, you're not unlike any other business in the county looking for people to work for them.
Absolutely. Yep. Workforce, that's always going to be front and center for us.
It's a very important part of your business.
It is. It is. And, you know, it just the dynamics of a workforce are interesting. You've got four generations trying to come together, make decisions, agree. Sometimes we agree to disagree, but, you know, but it's, you know, we hear a lot about how the younger generation and the older generations, they're sometimes oil and water. But, you know, myself, other leaders at Pomerene, our management team, we really try to blend, get everybody's perspective, understand the why, state the why, and make sure that we're all rowing in the same direction as far as how we're going to move forward together.
And on that note, we're going to take a little pause. We'll have more with Pomerene Hospital CEO Ann Gunther. For WKLM's Focus Fridays, I'm Melissa Patrick. We are rejoining with Pomerene Hospital CEO Ann Gunther. I'm Melissa Patrick for Focus Fridays here on WKLM. And we've talked all about the services that you offer and the things that Pomerene Hospital is doing. And maybe a kind of helpful hints we could give to people if they need services and how to access them at Pomerene Hospital and what you do when you walk in and just being able to utilize Pomerene at its best.
Sure. So I would say the majority of our patients that come through are coming for a service, an outpatient service, whether that's a lab, an x-ray, or an imaging test. And if you come through our main doors at the hospital, you'll be greeted by our admitting team that they'll take all your information, register you, and give you guidance as to where to go next. If you're coming through our emergency department,
it's going to be pretty quick.
It'll be, you know, obviously, hopefully you're not coming in through, you know, an ambulance, but if you're coming just as a walk-in, you know, certainly we'll greet you at the door. Either take you straight back into the emergency department, or we'll get you registered as a patient. Again, the ED does a wonderful job of triaging your either your injury or your illness, and, you know, again, skilled at that, so they'll be able to tell whether or not, you know, we can get you registered first. It's always, we have to get information about every patient, but then get you back quickly and get you treated.
But in the case of certain injuries, sometimes you just have to go fix things first.
You do.
Ask questions later.
Absolutely. Yep. And we have a process for that. Again, we're always making sure that we keep our patients safe, quickly treating any type of critical illness or injury. And then we'll get you registered. And then, you know, you will be seen by a board-certified emergency department physician who will then take care of your needs. If you have to be admitted from our emergency department, then obviously we have very solid processes to get you upstairs. And the transition between caregivers, whether it's from the ED up to our hospitalist service, there is a physician-to-physician, you know, communication that happens, as well as nurse-to-nurse communication that's going on.
And how can people access some of the services that you have when you are diagnosed with something or you're feeling off? It can be a scary time and it can be hard to make that phone call or look them. How do people find out what services they can utilize here?
Sure. So I would encourage every person to utilize their primary care physician. You know, I know there are people that don't have a primary care, and I would highly encourage everyone to get established by primary care. But if you don't feel it's an emergency, obviously if it's an emergency, come straight to our emergency department. But you certainly can call your primary care, you know, explain exactly what's happening and get you scheduled for a visit. And you'll see either, you know, a physician or an advanced practice provider. The relationship between the advanced practice provider and the physicians is very strong. There's a collaborative agreement. And we can quickly determine what the next steps are. So if that's a, you know, laboratory testing, if it's imaging or a radiology testing that needs done, or it's some other type of invasive testing that needs done, certainly that'll be all arranged and communicated through your primary care. If you don't have a primary care, we have physicians and, again, advanced practice that have open slots. More than welcome to call us up. We'll get you scheduled.
And that's just calling the main number at Pomeran Hospital, and you have someone who will answer the phone and direct you into the way you need to go.
That's correct. Take care of yourself early in your life, because great habits, addressing needs, you know, early on really helps when you get into a later stage in life. You know, making sure you have good habits, and, you know, that's going to allow you to have a quality of life, a fruitful life, because a lot of things show up when you start turning, you know, older.
You hit that 4-0 and it's just a mess.
Well, and sometimes you see it in when you turn that 5-0 or 6-0 or 7-0. I mean, it just, you know, healthy habits early in life will prevent a lot of maybe items as you age.
And one of the things that just kind of popped in my head is Pomeran utilizing telehealth?
We are, in certain circumstances. Mm-hmm. So one of those is if you come in with stroke symptoms, we do have a telehealth availability with a neurologist right in the emergency department that will work with our emergency department and the nurses and the clinical team to decide, you know, what needs to happen.
Which is very important in a stroke situation.
Which is very, very important. But that is one thing with telehealth. That's something I see as a future for Pomeran, is maybe some utilizing more telehealth specialty. And it is also it's a strategy and it's a practice that we're seeing a lot more in rural hospitals and more accepted, more of everybody feeling comfortable using, you know, instead of having a physical body at the bedside, but more on a screen to help make decisions about what the next step of the healthcare need is.
And sometimes those with transportation challenges, that's an easier way to get them to even consult with a physician.
It is. In fact, another example that we use telehealth is in our sleep lab. So Dr. Latouf, longtime, you know, primary care physicians in the community, he left and relocated down into Florida, but we utilize him still in Florida, you know, to help manage a lot of our sleep patients that need his expertise. And again, we can provide that service, but not necessarily have to have him standing right there beside the patient.
Which, it's amazing we've come to that point.
I know, exactly, exactly.
Okay, let me just consult my doctor in Florida while I'm in Ohio.
Exactly, yeah. And what we hear is, you know, patients really, the advantage is they know Dr. Latouf. So even though he might be, you know, hundreds of miles away, they still, you know, understand him, trust him. And we're so glad he's still part of us, even though he's in a different physical location.
And on that note, we've got one last time chatting with you, and I think we're going to touch a little on the past and the future in this last segment. I am chatting with Ann Gunther, the CEO of Pomeroon Hospital. I'm Melissa Patrick for WKLM's Focus Fridays. It is our last time here with CEO of Pomeroon Hospital, Ann Gunther. I'm Melissa Patrick for WKLM's Focus Fridays. And in the off time here, we had kind of talked a little bit about a big anniversary that's coming up for Pomeroon Hospital soon.
Yes, Pomeroon Hospital is going to turn 90 years old on June 1st of 2027.
And that's really important to show just how established the hospital is in Holmes County.
That's correct. In fact, it's amazing that the hospital is still independent and still standing, you know, strong 90 years later.
And it's definitely grown in the years since its conception, but it has to grow.
Absolutely. I think we've seen a growth in inpatient as well as outpatient. Back in 1937, when the hospital opened, you know, I believe there were only maybe 3, maybe 5 beds that they had for an inpatient. And I think they did have an emergency room and they did have OB services back then. But
the basics.
Yeah. 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 But the hospital actually got its seed money from Dr. Joel Pomeroon's daughter. And her name was Jeannie Pomeroon Haney. And actually, upon her death, she had a trust of around $10,000 that was, you know, gifted in order to start the hospital. And then on, I think, June 1st, there was a child that came in with a ruptured appendix. That was the first patient that was treated.
As you mentioned, you're still doing appendix
today. I know, exactly. And then just several weeks later, then we had our first baby born at the hospital. So those, you know, like you said, those services, surgery and having, you know, obstetrical services are still being used today, 90 years later.
The core basics.
Core basics.
What you need in Holmes County.
That's
sure,
correct.
They weren't doing 800 babies a year back then, but... If you could kind of have a conversation with those doctors in the beginning, what do you think they'd say about where Pomeroon has come from where it started?
I think they would be proud to see where Pomeroon is today. And again, still serving the community, still providing the necessary care and medical expertise that the, you know, the community needs in this day and age. I would love to go back and talk to them about just how the hospital operated and just how they stayed in business. And, you know, the way hospitals are managed today is a lot different. You know, it'd be interesting to know what the payment system was, how people paid for their health care back then. But again, I think they would be very proud of where we're at today.
It definitely is different how the patients get there. We didn't have all the roadways and emergency systems like we have now. And so that has definitely increased the footprint of Pomeroon.
Right. And, you know, Melissa, I think one thing that we're going to do at Pomeroon is celebrate our legacy. And so next June, we are looking to have a birthday party, a 90th birthday.
So keep your ears open. We'll have more info.
Yeah, exactly. It's a time to celebrate and reflect, but yet, you know, look toward the future of where Pomeroon's going to go. Because like I said, we want to make sure that we're here in the next 20, 30, 40, 50, 90 years from now. We want to make sure we're still here.
You want to celebrate 180.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
Hitting 90 means that big 100 year mark is coming soon. And that's a very pivotal mark for a hospital.
It is. And a lot of, not only a hospital, but businesses that are celebrating, you know, that legacy, that's unusual. And, you know, you're doing something right if you're celebrating that number, that age, whether it's 90 or 100, you're doing something right.
So stay tuned for more info on 90 years in 2027.
Yes.
And then are there any last thoughts or comments that you'd like to share before we wrap up here?
No, I appreciate the ability to talk about Pommerene. Again, we have wonderful people that work at Pommerene, you know, our board of directors, to our medical staff, to our leadership, to our wonderful employees. I see every day where the passion, the compassion, the empathy comes through. Pommerene is here to help people get the appropriate care that they need, but, you know, really be there in that crucial moment that they need, whether, you know, it's an injury or it's an illness. And we're very well resourced. So if we can't provide the service, we know people and experts that can provide that service, again, to assure that you're getting the most advanced care that you need at that time.
That's those partnerships really coming into play.
You're right. Absolutely.
And if anybody is interested in filling in some of these special needs, if they happen to listen as they're coming across, they can reach out and you guys will be glad to have a chat with them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We always post our open positions. And again, if anyone's interested, we'd love to talk with you.
Or if you're a high schooler considering the medical field, you've got somebody in maybe a field that they're looking at and can say, here, this is what you need to do and the path you need to take.
Exactly. We'd love to sit down and talk with you. If we can bring you in, maybe potentially shadow an area just to get a little bit more insight as to what the role entails. But what I do know about healthcare is that we're here today and we're going to be here tomorrow. You're always going to need someone to care. You know, that human touch on people is always going to be needed. No matter how much technology comes our way, how much, you know, artificial intelligence people talk about, you're always going to need a human touch to take care of people.
And I think that's a great note to end on. So thank you so much for joining with us.
I appreciate the time. Thank you, Melissa.
That was Pommerene Hospital CEO Ann Gunther for WKLM's Focus Fridays. I'm Melissa Patrick. Focus Fridays has been brought to you by Hobrins Insurance, Holmes Siding, Rohde's IGA, Millersburg Electric, Pommerene Hospital, MRV Siding, and Millersburg Tire. Don't miss an episode of Focus Fridays each Friday here on WKLM. If you do happen to miss an episode, you can go to the website, WKLMFM.com, and click on the Focus Fridays icon and then on the episode that you missed from there. We have episodes of Focus Fridays each Friday in the 9 a.m. hour. Focus Fridays is here on your hometown radio, 95.3 WKLM.